To begin.
Are you watching closely?
To begin.
Clytus, I'm bored.
How to start?
What plaything can you offer me today?
Hello and welcome again to The First Syllable. Today we are talking about... Oh my god, what are we talking about? And can you hear the background noise? I don't know. Unannounced construction going on in our building. I pause and I see the bangs showing up on the recording, and I hope they come out in the cleanup later. If not, apologies. I wasn't sure when else I could record this week. Unlike Groundhog Day Project podcast, I don't really want to record the show ahead because that would defeat the purpose. Sort of. So the thing I didn't get to last week was the days of the week, so we'll start there, and then depending on how long that goes, maybe we'll get to the possibly more complicated, well, definitely more complicated, but I don't know how complicated is the problem, breakdown of characters from Death, 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 in particular, my sort of retroactively examining who can be deleted. That's exciting. It might be next week, it might be today, I don't know yet. Because I want to start with the days of the week, since I didn't get to them last week. Because the original version of Guardia, now Old Guardia, Bas, now Basara, had 7 days to its week. I really hope that background grinding is not showing up. I don't know what they're doing. Cutting something, building, hitting, who knows? Who has any fucking clue? The world is a mess and there's lots of noise. Yesterday our neighbors decided to mutilate the tree in the backyard that had such a lovely view from our balcony on our first floor and from our bedroom window upstairs, my wife and I. So the view has changed and we're going to get more sun in the summer and it's distracting and we're both autistic and it's a problem because change sucks, and when change is something itself that sucks, it's even worse. Because it doubly sucks. And meanwhile, the world is a mess where tax day just passed and our taxes are going toward funding a bunch of shit. Yeah, that's where I want to go. I was going to say fuck the days of the week, but no, I am going to get to that. But it is worth talking about all the rest of these things because so much of this adds together why I have not even gotten any rewriting done. I said last week was going to be complicated. Getting into the new schedule... I'm really afraid of that background noise. I can see it on the audio track. If it were at least consistent, like there's a fan on behind me, but that fan is a consistent sound that can be taken out by the noise reduction. As long as I am talking at a reasonable volume, it works out. I don't turn that off anymore to record, because then it gets very hot and very stuffy in here, and then I am more likely to start coughing and having trouble talking. Anyway, politics, genocide, anti-trans and LGBTQIA+ agendas, and white supremacy, police violence, fucking everything. Yeah. But anyway, my new class is great. It's just, it's messing with my schedule, so now the only time I have to record and edit is in weird little gaps that I might not have time for, especially if I don't know how long something's going to take. So, days of the week. They used to be Weste, Erode, Grunde, Heide, Leude, Arde, and Todeg. Should be Today, but since that's very similar to today, even though that wasn't really what they called today in Guardia, they usually said this day. It was sort of a variant where they could say this day and today. They could use either. So I changed it so, from the old words, it would have been Westeg, Erodeg, Grundeg, Heideg, Leodeg, Ardeg, Todeg. And so that one remained as Deg, using the old word, while the rest changed to Day. What they meant, I was taking our days of the week, but starting with Thursday, for reasons, you'll see, they kind of had an order to them. Weste came from Thursday, which really is to Thor. I forget how I got to life from Thor, but Westeg is life day. It is the first day of the week. Life makes sense. Then once you're alive, you get Friday, named for Freya, who is a goddess of love. And so Erode is love day. So you have life, you have love, then you have to become something more. So the next thing is taking from Saturday. Saturn is a god of the harvest or something like that. I forget the exact relation. Grundig is growing day. Then once things are growing, you get passion in your life. You want things. You become even more. And so we get high day coming from Sunday, which is the sun. So this is fire day. What is their name for the sun? Do they just call the sun high? No, that doesn't make sense. I don't remember. And then Monday, moon day, is Leo day, still moon day. Tuesday comes from Teu, who I believe is a god of the air or the sky. So our day is sky day. And then Wednesday comes from Woden, who is the chief of the Norse gods, variant spelling of Odin. And also is, I forget what all he's the god of, but I went with death. It is the end of the week. It is dying. So in the old words, one word for death is to. So Todek. Coming in the new version, with the expanded world building, the days of the week, there are no longer seven, there would be nine. And so then I'm like, I still want them to make sense in order. I don't have the details here, so I'm going to have to figure this out. I have opened the Gods of Basara list, which is a 10-page Word document detailing the gods and things about them, how they relate to one another. So, first day of the week, we start with the beginning. Here's a paragraph for you. This is the opening paragraph in this Word file. In the beginning was the creative spark, Lyestrin. In imagining companionship, Lyestrin created the fire, Wisp, the darkness, Jura, and the watcher, Yarlan. But they had no interest in her. Additionally, the land, Basar, the sea, Wedsayan, the destruction, Trask, the invisible, Mab, and the will to change, Ket, were born. When Ket rejected Lyestrin, she created instead a whole new pairing, Beriket and Lethier. Lethier bore Crave and Urz. Meanwhile, in trying to replace Lethier, Lyestrin inadvertently created Ethelarion. Ethelarion mourned for Lethier, though she never knew her, and after burying Nassal and Zikiel, Ethelarion rejected Beriket. That's a lot. Beriket, there at the end, is the chief of the gods. His sort of three brides over time went from Lethier to Ethelarion and then eventually to Adelin. No one in the world, well, officially no one in the world, even remembers that Lethier ever existed. All of the gods, except for Lyestrin Demes and Pero, are called the Forgotten Gods. Even though people do have records of them, there was an event that happened a good while ago, like 100 years ago in the present of the world, where everyone who knew anything, or even the clerics and priests of the other gods, forgot their knowledge of them. They still had written records, so some of them went back to it and it became more like a religion and less a hands-on kind of knowledge thing. And a lot of people then turned to Pero because they could see his impact on the world. And Lyestrin is just kind of permanent because she is the permanent. She is the thing that always is. She is space and time and the creative spark. She's the thing that created the world. Which isn't entirely true, but is sort of true, as far as people know. But she is the start of the week. So, day one, I wanted the days to be interesting and have names that kind of, regardless of what they used to be, like the old one where it went just from West Egg to West Day, I wanted it to be a little more complicated. So, some version of a day that was named after Lyestrin became lists. Which is an interesting start to the week, like everyone has a to-do list for their week, and this is the day where you decide what you're doing for the week. Second, because then I was going for, because the week is based on the phases of the moon Shelo, I had to save, I wanted it to be the order of that paragraph. Lyestrin, Wisp, Jura, Yarlan, Basar, well not Basar, or Wedsayan, they wouldn't have things, Trask wouldn't either. Mab might. Ket definitely would, because he's still important. But I want to keep that order. But immediately lost it, because I also wanted to go with the phases of the moon. Shelo has a 9-day cycle. Jump ahead, the 9th day of the week is called Full Shelo. That moon is full. That's how you know it's the end of the week. So we start at lists, and then we go to Wide Eye, which I think is a reference to Yarlan, the Watcher, because we have to save the Fire Wisp and the Darkness Jura for later. The second day of the week is just called Wide Eye. The third day is called Grounding, and now I can't remember why. I think it was going back as a relation to Grundegg, but I don't know who it was connecting to now in here, or if I just took Grundegg and turned it, I don't remember. Then the confusing name for a day. The fourth day of the week is called Night's Day, because we're getting to the darkest part of the week in terms of Shiloh. The week is all measured by Shiloh. And so we have Night's Day and then Whisper. Whisper is the fire, but Whisper is also... Let me scroll down and find the descriptions for this. Wisp Agarath. Where is he? Wisp Agarath is fire, the scarecrow, the soldier, the sun, the jailer. He is kind of like the equivalent of the devil, but not quite, because what we would call Satan or the devil, Lucifer, is kind of divided between Wisp Agarath, Nassal, and... Who else would be? There'd be a third one. I don't remember. Offhand, there's 27 gods here on this list, so I don't remember them all anymore. Well, I do, but I don't. I always have to double-check details because some get mixed up in my head. I constantly mix up Jurotalo and Canthria, for example. We'll get to them. But Wisp Agarath is the god of fire. He's the god of plots. He's the god of consequence. That is how he comes up in Four-Finger Discount. He is the god of, like, retribution and revenge. Sort of. There's variants, because if it is more of, like, a revolutionary revenge, like trying to take back what belongs to you, that might not necessarily be consequence. That might be serving Pero, who is the god of rebellion and empowerment. But Whisper gets the middle day of the week. Then we get Adelaide, which is named for Adeline. Adeline is the sort of... Sorry, the background noise just got louder again. I hope you can't hear it. If you can, I am so sorry. I hope I cleaned it out of here and you're just hearing me talk about something you can't even hear, because that would be, I don't know, something. Adeline is the life giver, the lady of the morning, and the mother, or what people call her. She is the goddess of life, birth, and sunlight. So, middle of the week when it's darkest, we get Whisper, which is consequence, and then Adelaide for Adeline. She is essentially the queen of the gods. Then Maiden's Day, which is for Canthria? Yeah, Canthria. She is the dancer, the maid, the daughter, the lady of spells. She is essentially the one who has invented arcane magic. She doesn't really have clerics as you would think of them. If I do continue making this into a sort of homebrew world for D&D, essentially a complicated variant of 5th edition, because I had to replace all the races, and I've talked about this a little bit, but it gets weird. She wouldn't have any clerics. If you would like to be what's called a branded, which is the equivalent of a cleric or a paladin, branded gets specific kinds of magic from the god they serve. You don't serve Canthria. Apparently you do hammer on the roof right above where I am recording. Why would they be on our roof? Our roof's not having a problem. See, I think the roof is leaking. And you wouldn't know this, but they had to replace the entire roof a year ago because of leaks and damage, and the fact that it just rained and they have to replace another part of the roof is hilarious and tragic and stupid. Canthria is the... So she's the goddess of arcane magic, what you would call arcane magic. The ability of people to do their own magic and to learn magic, rather than be given it. She's also the goddess of art, music, and peace. So she comes toward the end of the week, and then we go to Plowers, which is our way of getting back around to Barakhet, the king of the gods, the storm lord, the plowman, the father, the lord provider. He is the god of farmers, of protectors, of hunters, and he is in charge, even though he is not as hands-on as he used to be, which is why Pero has all the influence around the world. My way of going with the sort of 5th edition, or not 5th edition, any RPG pantheon where you have all these gods, and it's like, how do you worship things you know exist? While also, the whole point of the forgetting, and the forgotten gods is that 25 of the gods have been left behind. Doesn't mean they're not there, it just means people aren't 100% sure about them anymore. And so Plowers is the eighth day of the week, named for Barraquette. I didn't want it to be named after his name. The only one that ends up, well, I guess we have a couple named after names, Whisper, Adelaide, Lists, Full Shelo is named for the goddess. Not just the moon, but also the goddess Shelophara, who is the crier, the trickster, the lady of chaos. She is the goddess of messages, noise, weather, and planes, although the planes is not. These were things I put in my notes, taken directly from 5th edition sources of what domains they would. What's funny is right as I was starting to record, they were quiet. I think they were on a lunch break, and then they came back from lunch, I guess, right as I got going. Yay me. These were domains I took from 5th edition sources, and then dividing them up as to how could my gods fit them. I'm not going to take their strict things. Like, her other stuff is, I guess that's a cleric domain of trickery, and astral self. Was that a monk thing? I forget. Essentially, my thing can't be 5th edition. It would be remodeled so much. Like, I had to replace all the races. And my races are not playable with the other ones because of the way I did them. They each have, I think it's 5 particular traits. None of them have... I want to treat races as sort of... Essentially, I was building the world more like science fiction than fantasy. It's like, if there were gods and they created these races, how would these races be? How do you do essentialist races without it being a problem? For example, Weg are quite big, generally speaking. That's sort of the equivalent of like an ogre or an orc. That means inherently they have a higher strength bonus than a Nivani. Nivani are the closest to what a halfling is, sort of. They're like halflings if they were also sort of mermaids. But Nivani would not be strong because they're particularly small. They're not going to be as strong as a Weg. They shouldn't be. And so things like that. But it wouldn't be, it doesn't affect like their intelligence or their wisdom or their charisma. There is an exception because the only way Haman or humans have survived in Basara is by adapting. They have interbred with everything else, and so Hamans have an innate... I forget the bonuses. I don't have that file open at the moment. Maybe I should open it. That'd be interesting to see. Where is it? Basaric races. Yeah, their primary bonus is to constitution, but then they get 2 large bonuses because they tend to be resilient. They tend to be good at something. Otherwise, the race wouldn't have survived. Because they weren't native to Basara. They weren't created by the Basaric gods. Which goes to a whole history of... Where is that? That is in the Basaric notes file. My Basara notes are in multiple files. There's a file just for animals. There's a file of general stuff. A file for gods. A file for the old words. There's the old Guardia glossary that I go to and steal stuff from. And we'll have to make a new version of it at some point. Where is the beginning of the world? It's in here. Okay, first Barraquette, Chief of the Gods, made the Trall. So the first race was the Trall. First Trall was a man named Manuel, and the first woman was named Origi. Sort of the equivalent of Adam and Eve. But then Adeline was like, okay, husband, if you can do that, I can make something. So she made the She. The She are somewhere between, like, a brownie and the 70s animated Hobbit version of the Hobbit. They're kind of these really small, kind of fat little... They're adorable. Originally, when I wrote them in the novel, The Empress of Time, I was thinking of them specifically as being like the brownies in Willow. But I think they're maybe about that size, but they're more round. They have long legs for their bodies. One of their physical things, if you play one, is that they can jump pretty high because they were made by Adeline, who likes trees and plants, and she put them in forests, so they're able to get around. They're kind of like monkeys, essentially, but these tiny little people. Ezekiel, who is the smith, he made the duero, so he made dwarves. They are stout, they are low to the ground, so they're sturdy, they have good constitution, good strength, often. Duero are also the only race that can inherently do magic. So, in order to be a woven, which is the equivalent of like a sorcerer, having natural magic, a natural magical ability, there has to be some duero blood in your background. Odds, the main character in Four Finger Discount, is Haman, but it is said that her grandmother had an affair with a duero. So Odds is short, and she has some natural magical ability. Toba created the Weg. Toba is the god of war. Essentially, my Weg are like if you mix Klingons from Star Trek with the orcs from Warcraft with D&D orcs. Ish. They're also, well, I don't know about average of them. The only one I've really written about so far is Kill. And Kill is deliberately kind of abhorrent to violence, and he is really well read. He is tends to be quiet and a thinker. And Wega, the language that many Weg speak, because they tend to live in enclaves where they're away from other people. And in particular, he lives in a place called Hanging Shadow, or grew up in a place called Hanging Shadow. The language is kind of weird in the, it's supposed to be, I have notes specifically on the Wega language and would like to invent more of it, relating to a thing called Tokipona, and close to Spanish, and I forget the other language that it was close to, where it's sort of this creole of Spanish and Tokipona and English is the way I would create it, but it is shorter, short words, fast words, things get bunched together in a way that make a single word can have a lot of meaning to it, and so their sentences tend to be fast, their thoughts tend to be fast, and so they're very good at communicating with other people, but they have a weird way of doing it. In particular, writing Kill and his dialogue in Four Finger Discount was difficult sometimes because the way he says things, for example, they don't really have a first-person pronoun. He doesn't refer to himself, ever. He starts with the verb. And they don't have articles. It's hard to write that and not make it feel like an offensive sort of, like the way you used to write foreigners in movies and be all offensive about it. And if I was better at creating languages, I would make Wega more thoroughly. And I'm not that good at that part. But they're different. They're unique. And the Trowlers more like elves. The Shi are like hobbits or gnomes. Because I was starting from 5e and then working backward to try to find equivalents. And then I ended up separating mine even more and more from what they would have been. Duero are dwarves. The Weg are like orcs. Korthakea created the Vani. Well, actually, Weg are not just orcs. Weg also include the Nibweg, which are closer to goblins, and they used to include the Hoaweg, which are giants, but the Hoaweg, as far as anyone knows, are extinct. Korthakea created the Vani. Korthakea is the god of the sea. The Vani are a sea people, and unbeknownst to most people on the surface, the Vani are, there's a lot of them, but they live in underwater cities and don't bother with the people up on the surface much. Except for where they do. Like, for example, in Hanging Shadow, where Kill grew up and was trained as a warrior, because there is an ongoing war that's been going on for quite a while called the Hanging War, where the coastal Vani in the area are fighting with the Weg. Over what exactly? Not important in that story, so I didn't get into it. Do I know? Only sort of. I know it's about resources, I know it's about connections to the gods. And I think it's also that the Vani are trying to find their way into Eleothea to get away from the Krith, but that's part of the ongoing larger story. You see, then I have a, in parentheses here, I have, or did Korthakea make the Vani first, and Barakat felt challenged and made the Troll, which is funny, because that means the chief god was like, what was he the god of, if he wasn't creating people immediately? And it was Korthakea's idea, and he's like, wait, what the fuck? More notes. The first Weg was a woman called Tantu. The other races of the world would be, well, the Vani. There are three kinds. There are the Nivani, which are small. They are the closest to hobbits, really, even more than the Shi. They have a, where's that thing about the, about them? They are the only one, and I forget the logic to it, I think I have it explained in here, where they get a inherent modifier to a mental stat. They have a +2 to constitution because they evolved underwater, but then they have a +1 to intelligence because the only way the smaller Vani could get ahead is the smarter ones, and so there is a biological advantage to the smaller Vani being smarter. That's the Nivani. Then there are the Ivani, which are more like 6 feet tall, human, average kind of size. They're good with constitution and dexterity because underwater and they swim. The Hoavani are much bigger. That you wouldn't tend to see the really big ones outside of the water. They, let's see, they're usually over 8 feet tall and weigh between 300 and 600 pounds. They are have good constitution. -2 to dexterity, unless they're in the water. Essentially, they would have something there. I forget how I phrased it. They have a +1 to charisma, just because they're particularly large and kind of scary if you've never been around one. The other races would be the Krith, who I mentioned earlier. There's not much known about them. We do see a dead one in Four Finger Discount. It is in a display case at a club called Empire. And we do learn that they have something to do with magic, or rather the opposite of it. Wherever a Krith is, there is a hole in magic and the world. And essentially the idea in the ongoing story is the more Krith there are, the less magic will be around. That's why going back to my original D&D campaign, that now that world building, which was just in, not exactly Faerun, but Toril Abir, Forgotten Realms, merged that homebrewing of mine with my Guardia world building, became this. And so the Krith are, that campaign was called A World Without Magic. And essentially the premise was the PCs were hired by this guy to go find these powerful magical items and send them to him to be destroyed. That character is still alive for reasons. He is still destroying magical items. He is still helping erase the big magic, maybe because he wants magic gone, or maybe because he thinks the only way to save magic generally is to destroy these particular things and let the magic seep back out into the world itself. So that the forgetting can be reversed, the gods can have more influence. It's a whole complicated thing that even my notes for it are in multiple Word files here, as they relate to different things. The Krith. Well, I won't explain where they come from exactly, but they weren't created by the gods. The other race that just kind of appeared out of nowhere shortly after the Krith was these cat-like people called the Sauri, who they have a sort of magical ability often as well, because they were made by Canthria, essentially as a counter to the Krith. But that might have backfired because then she's concentrating magic in a weird way that it shouldn't be. And Haman basically didn't exist in Basara, maybe a scattered few here and there, but there weren't a lot of them until, 1,000 years ago. I forget what it is in Basara, because time is different for them than for us. Part of the thing with the old Guardia stories was that Guardia connects to Earth occasionally, and so the first king of the kingdom that became Guardia was Arthur. When he went to Avalon, Avalon is an island off the coast of Eliathea, and so he was nursed back to health by people there, came up to Eliathea, founded the kingdom of Guardia in the middle of it, and proceeded to, how they say it is, he civilized the peoples of Eliathea. Really, there were already civilizations there, and there's already peoples around the world, and he just kind of fucked with them. And he turned them into this larger sort of kingdom and empire that's been growing for 1,000 years. And I have a whole list of all the kings, from Arthur up to the current one, Absalom, who was specifically named after, not strictly speaking, the son of David from the Bible, but the city of Absalom from Pathfinder, because I was needed some quick little places in the city of Aedith, and so I copied some in my original D&D campaign from the Absalom book for Pathfinder, which I have somewhere here. And then I liked that he was named after the Absalom from the Bible as well, so I kept it. He's a complicated character because he was essentially a temporary patron of the PCs in my D&D campaign, and then will also be that if I run another D&D campaign, but in a much different way, because he might be the villain, depending on other factors. There's this larger conflict forming in the world between what Absalom is doing to concentrate power, political power, what Malachi is doing to concentrate religious power, and what's named Karik is doing to destroy powerful magical items. And I was almost done. You had to just be noise right by my wall. I don't think I could take that one out, so sorry. It's a lot. And next week I'll get to the death thing, and that's fine, because I'm not going to get to the rewrite of death for a little while anyway. If you care, if these details are interesting about Bizarre and all this other stuff, I don't know, ask some questions. Find me on social media. Find me at Lemming Drop Studio Tour on Facebook. Find me at Robert E.G. Black anywhere on social media and ask away. I could tell you about the gods. If you go to my Instagram, you'll find drawings of each of the 27 gods that I did last fall. I wish I'd kept doing more. I drew one of the demons. The archdemons. I meant to draw the rest. I forget how many there are now. Essentially, I hope to have 27 archdemons. Originally, I started with 9. Currently, I have 9 archangels. I haven't drawn any of them, and I've only drawn one of the demons. I have some inspiration art saved on my phone and my iPad for when I want to get around back to drawing the other ones, but I don't have time for that. I don't draw often enough, so it takes me a couple hours to do a drawing and make it look presentable. This episode's too long anyway. So, I'll leave you at that. Lys, wide eye, grounding, night's day, whisper, Adelaide, maiden's day, flowers, full Shiloh. The week is over. The months are either 3 weeks or 4 weeks long, they alternate. The year has how many months? Oh man, I'm not opening the calendar thing. I have a whole diagram for how the moon's phases work of the three moons. I really want to figure out an eclipse thing. The eclipse last week had me thinking about that. I had a time when there's eclipses, so I can make that a thing. But what would they mean? What kind of eclipses are there? If you have three moons plus a sun, you'd have different kinds of eclipses, not just lunar or solar. You'd have, I guess, Scheler, Bradle, Ruiner, and Pyre, whatever they call the sun. I don't know. Noise is getting louder again, so I'm going to go. I'll tell you about death next time, because that is something I have to do. I probably should do it soon, but you won't hear it till next week, because I've already been thinking about it in the car while driving to and from work, and I need to just record it and put it on paper, as it were, on record, so I know what I need to do when I go back to rewrite death, because I think I can cut, like, 3, 4, maybe even 5 characters out by mixing and matching the way that people relate to one another, without changing much of the plot, but simplifying the people's understanding of it, the people being you. The audience, the people who've seen the movie, in the future. Also, if you want to read Death, let me know. If you want to read Four Finger Discount, let me know. They're both still rough drafts, but I'd love for some feedback. And if you don't, well, fuck you. No, I'm kidding. You're great. If you're listening to this, you're awesome.
Cut. You're still here? It's over.
Stuff that dreams are made of.
It's a passport.
Go home.
To another world.
Go.